Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. I hope and pray that you had a good Easter or Resurrection holiday. I like to call it a holy day instead of a holiday because it is a holy day. It's a day when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, giving us the victory over sin and death. What a joy. But, you know, we go along with some of the worldly things that we do. We had a good time after church on Sunday, and we only had one youth, but Tina, as the tradition of the church has been in the past, doing Easter egg rolls and hunts and all that, and she made it available for the one youth that we had, and it was really neat. But all of that is wonderful. We had good weather. We're settling back now in our routines and all that neat stuff. But I was just wondering, now the scripture for this week in the lectionary is in John chapter 20, and it's also in verses 19 through 29. You get a chance to read it. But it's really about when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and then Jesus appeared to Thomas. And I would like to think about maybe what was happening that day. Now, we got this whole crew of Jesus followers, and they gathered together. And they've been worried because after Jesus was crucified, they knew they were going to be in trouble because the religious leaders of the day and the Romans, they didn't like him so much. They didn't like all these disciples. But look at them. What'd they do? They went and they locked themselves behind doors, trembling in fear. It might even be a stretch to believe that they were witnesses to the risen Lord. In my own mind, I think that's where old Thomas gets a raw deal. Usually we read these scriptures while wagging a finger at poor old doubting Thomas. You know, most of us think unconsciously, and we picture ourselves sometimes as one of the good guys shaking our head at Thomas, who demands proof. I want proof. Well, let's just step away from the vague embarrassment from Thomas to who is weak and to accept the reality of new life. I think that's true for a lot of folks, and that's the blessed story that we have, because he went on to say, and Jesus said at the end of that scripture, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And I think to myself, wow, I feel bad for the Thomases of the world, don't you? Though this is my inside voice, I call the conscience or the Holy Spirit working within us, and it actually hears. And sometimes we just have to confess that our thoughts or the tone of judgment or even superiority, we have to be cautious about that. So as we step back and think about the bigger picture, could it be that there's more going on of any kind of cynic that needs proof? Maybe Thomas is the only brave one of the bunch. But what I was thinking about all that, what I was thinking of was about doubt. I think because forever, Thomas seems to be known as Doubting Thomas, because he wasn't sure if he could believe in the risen Lord without first seeing him in person. You notice that Jesus offered to Thomas the signs that he requested, and then he encouraged Thomas to believe even when the physical signs weren't there. Is doubt a bad thing? I don't think so. Doubt can serve as a warning flag in many situations. It's good to doubt. Gossip, unverified news reports, the claim of false teachers, or guilt of a man before he's fairly tried by a juror. You see, doubts occur when we do not have enough information to convince us. If doubt prompts us to seek out more information, and we may be able to save ourselves from disaster. But we have another situation, because we have a matter of faith. God has given us His Word, the Bible. He has given us all the facts we need in order to be assured of salvation. to trust in the authority of God's Word, to spend more time with God's Word, the better we grasp the facts that we all have, the more we're convinced that we will be faithful. Now, Thomas had all the facts. He heard Jesus promise the resurrection, faithful companion, gave their eyewitnesses, but poor old Thomas was allowed to doubt and turn into a lack of trust. So, use doubt. There's nothing wrong with doubt. Sometimes doubt gets a bad rap, too. Use doubt to keep your mindful and to keep you out of danger. But don't let it endanger your faith. When he realized that Jesus was there and Lord, he said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." Wow, that's a powerful message, because none of us has seen Jesus in the flesh to be able to put our finger in his side or touch the hands. But, you know, it is by faith that we believe, and then it's sealed with the Holy Spirit. So doubt's not a bad thing. So check it out. That's why I say that, you know, you got to study the Word of God for yourself. Going to Bible study and relying on other people is good, and it helps us. But, you know, you can get into the Word of God yourself, and it'll reveal himself. And you say, "Okay, Lord, I really don't understand what I'm reading here in the Bible." And you say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, if you're the teacher..." And I know you are, because I said you are. I want you to teach me and help me understand your Word. Well, we thank you for that. And I just was thinking about old Doubting Thomas and just thinking that how much we doubt about different things. And me even being a preacher, proclaiming the good news all the time, I have a lot of doubts, things that I deal with and things that I'm challenged with. So it's good. Search the Scriptures and find out for yourself, and to develop that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, we have a lot of things that we need to pray about. The world's going crazy, as you well know, and so we got to think about the things that are going on in the world and pray for people like over in Ukraine and some of the different other things that's going on. But Jesus gave us some clues about prayer. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, starting at verse 4 through 8. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ is not a book to be afraid of, as you heard me say. And it was really intended to be read to the church. Always just read the whole book, read the prophecy. But this is what John's greeting to the seven churches. And this letter is from John to the seven churches in Providence of Asia. And grace from the one who is and always was, who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness to these things, to first rise from the dead, and then the commander of the ruler of all the world. All praise to him. He loves us. He freed us from our sins by his shedding blood, and he has made us his kingdom and priests to serve before God his Father. Give him everlasting glory, because he rules forever and ever. And I said all that to say this. You know, this was a revelation from Jesus, and he told John to write these things down. But in verse 7 of chapter 1, he said, "Look, he's coming with clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the earth will weep because of him." Yes, amen. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I am the one who is, who always was, who is still to come, the Almighty One." So we hang on to what I call the blessed hope that Jesus is going to return. Yeah, the world's a mess, but you heard me say one time before, when I get to be king, I'm going to solve all these problems. But I think I'll defer to the King of Kings. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. So, yeah, we have doubts, but you know we have hope. I'm just a rambling now. Jim Pafford and his family was in church with us this past Sunday. And I don't know if you read and heard on the news, or some places in the Northeast where a lot of people are experiencing brain tumors and different things. And his granddaughter is in the Washington, D.C. area. And she had acquired one of these. And we want to lift her up in prayer. Her name is Annabelle Pafford. And the many other people that it's on our prayer list. And we lift them all up as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, and as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the king, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day, and thank you for letting me ramble on the pastor's thoughts and prayers. God bless.